Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 239, where we talk all things comics for the week of July 24th, 2019. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I don't have internet.
Oh, you want to tell the folks why you don't have the internet? This is a good story, everyone. This is story time with Alex.
Jack illegally downloaded The Sims 4. Not even a torrent. He downloaded it from like a website. So
that's weird that the website would be up, considering how litigious EA is.
But they don't want to take it down. They want to get people. Oh, so
is it a honeypot?
Yeah. So they got us, and this is like 15. You've downloaded something illegal. We've had all through Jack. So we called and canceled. Got all my money back, and then Lauren recently moved in to the apartment with her husband and has signed up for internet.
Bravo.
Yeah, I got to invest in a VPN.
Boom. And Jack won't be downloading games for quite a while.
No, I hope he learned his fucking lesson. Because he's been without the internet for like a week.
The thing is, I imagine you could probably survive a couple days without the internet, but he's probably going off the walls.
God, all he's done is play a little Big Planet 3.
Well, hopefully now he's learned his lesson. He's a child, so my guess is he probably hasn't.
I tried to tell him all these other fucking games and shit he had, and he's just, he looks at him, he's like, eh, we'll play a little Big Planet. Alright, for a fifth fucking day? Yeah.
Hey,
did we get internet back? Yeah, we...
Hey, and why not working for you in the best? Because now you're getting a cheaper internet connection and you're getting cable. So if anything, you should be thanking him.
No. I don't know how much I want cable.
It was worth it. All right.
I haven't decided yet.
No. All right. I felt like we killed enough time. Let's go into our first segment this week. News. There. I decided to not use the rap. Are you happy?
Nah. I'd rather hear bad rap than, what was that, like a fucking video game song with lyrics?
Yeah, the Megas. Annihilation of Metropolis.
Yeah, those guys should probably not sing until their balls drop. That's my opinion.
Oh,
on
that's
that.
Mean. That's rude.
Boom.
We can forget about
like
ever having
Marco
them on the show
stunt
now.
In a band.
Well, Alex, you felt the need to have the segment this week, so by all means, tell us what comic book news do we have this week, considering Comic-Con was just last weekend.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. San Diego Comic-Con was this weekend, and there's like no comic news?
Dude, San Diego Comic-Con has not been about comics for a long time.
More and more every year. I told Tony I was going to mention we got to wait for New York Comic-Con, because that's where they do the comic news. But I thought it might change because, you know, DC has moved out. They moved away from New York.
Oh, well, no, here's what happened. It was fantastic the way Marvel played DC. So Marvel said, yeah, we're not doing it at San Diego Comic-Con. And then DC's like, oh, okay, I guess we're not going to do anything either. Then like the week of, they're like, Marvel decided, okay, we're going to do a bunch of stuff.
But they didn't. Well, they kind of did.
Well, Marvel Studios did, but, they announced roughly a million movies. And
many of which were expected.
The one I didn't expect was the Fantastic Four movie being announced, which I'm very pumped
on. Well, they didn't really announce it. They just said, at the very end of it, he goes, Fantastic Four and X-Men.
At least Fantastic Four, I think, has a timeline when that's coming out. I don't know about X-Men. I have not seen or read anything about X-Men being announced.
He mentioned it the same way he mentioned Fantastic
Four. Well, I've seen a lot more details about the Fantastic Four movie than I have about X-Men. I've seen it on the timeline, so.
I didn't see any details, but that's cool. Well, everybody knew they were going to, though. I mean, they fucking bought Fox's movie shit.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's some more movie news. Avengers has officially beaten Avatar for the highest grossing movie of all time.
Are you and former host Dave finally happy now?
Yeah, because what they did was they apparently in foreign markets, you don't get an accurate number right away. Mm-hmm. You have to wait until the end of the quarter. So when the end of the quarter came in, they found out they made like, you know, an extra $3 million, which is what they needed to put it over the top. The irony of this being Disney now owns Avatar also. So
they beat themselves.
They were really nice about how they're like, oh, Mr. Cameron's record breaking film, but it's now been overcome by Avengers and we hope James Cameron with future Avatar movies has great success, blah, blah, like they, cause they couldn't like shit talk it. Like, yeah, we beat that fucking pile of shit. They had to be nice cause they own it.
Yeah. Well, I get in the future that's going to happen a lot with Disney. It's funny.
Well, I think the one thing is Disney tends to make good movies. And now that they own Fox, it's like people are like, oh, everything's going to be good. But it's like, no, it's not because they can't actually exert that much control over everything. Yeah. So they're still going to make shitty movies. Like they do the Dumbo remake.
That has not come out yet.
Not everything they do is going to be awesome.
That Lion King remake was not the best.
That got good reviews, though.
I saw it and I was like, eh.
It made money. Yeah, but you don't like stuff that's popular. Because you're edgelord?
Yeah, but...
So,
no, that's... But, dude, who it's directed now you're projecting.
No, children who these films are made for, they liked it. Mm. I don't think Aladdin was supposed to be very good either. People had a very negative reaction to that. By the way, speaking of movies, my wife said she saw what Sonic looks like now. Did they change it release it?
They haven't officially changed. I don't know what your wife saw. It was probably just
fan art. She said she saw...
It was fan art, probably, because they haven't announced what he's going to look like yet, so it was probably just fan art.
Is he going to look like Sonic?
They haven't shown yet.
That movie is going to be the shit.
Yeah, regardless of how Sonic looks, it's still going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, name a Sonic game that had a good story. There's some fucking furry weebo listening to us right now who's just screaming.
Yeah, I know. No...
Sonic Adventure and the story of Sarah was terrific.
Hey, Castlevania was good, so there's a precedent for good stuff to be made from video games.
Castlevania was acceptable.
I mean, it was acceptable. It was good. It was good. Stop being a contrarian. Stop being the edgelord that you secretly are.
Fucking, the only thing you could say, okay, so it looked like anime bullshit is what it looked like, but Warren Ellis apparently did exert some control because there were characters in it mm-hmm. who weren't completely by the book, and there wasn't like a spunky upstart teen. Like, he avoided those traps somehow, which Japan is incapable of doing.
Speaking of spunky young teens, one of your favorite animes includes a young spunky teen, so I'd be quick to not dismiss it.
She's not a teen, she's a little girl.
Didn't they never identify what it was?
What, Ed?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's supposed to be a girl.
But there was no confirmation one way or another.
Well, it doesn't matter, she wasn't a main character.
She was on the show and she was
Mike was the main character.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but she wasn't in the, she wasn't even in the final story arc. This is all about Spike. Mm. We'll find out when Netflix does its fucking... Netflix is doing a fucking live-action Cowboy Bebop. It's so weird. Although, if you're going to do a fucking anime, like, you might as well. Like, it doesn't require that much silliness.
No.
Most of it takes place on a ship.
Yeah, we've seen before that's not that expensive. You do a couple exterior shots, and then you just get some hangar, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about all the great X-Men writers that have been attached to the new X-Men titles since you put over?
No, because I couldn't get the, since I don't have internet, okay. I couldn't get the list to come up.
Yeah, for people who don't know, I said, Alex brought up how many X-Men titles they announced. I'm like, yeah, there's the two by Hickman, and then I didn't know of anyone of note by the other books. And Alex was quick to point out.
They didn't announce those.
Well, you don't know enough comic book writers to say if they are of note.
Huh. I said you only know like 10 comic book writers, so.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to be reading a ton of books that are written by more than 10 people.
Are we?
I don't think Bendis wrote anything this week. So, boom.
Nothing we read.
Exactly. Because we like to have good comics on the show.
Well, actually, I read Event Leviathan, and he wrote that.
You made me read that.
I know. I love it.
I'm still upset over it.
It's got the question in it. He hasn't ruined the question yet.
No, but it's Bendis, so I don't even think he knows how to write the question, so.
He's done fine so far.
You're being generous.
He doesn't really say anything,
yeah,
so.
Exactly. Exactly.
DC's doing something terrible. We'll talk about it when we get to a DC book.
Exactly. All right. With that out of the way, let's go into our next segment. This week's books. That's Surface of SR388 from Metroid
Game Boy.
Return. Yeah. My Life in Gaming reviewed the GBA Consolizer, and they played that song. And I was like, ooh, I know that song. It's a fun song.
Yeah, I did too. I got that on a family trip to Florida. I beat it on the way down.
Really? I was about to say, that. I'm sure that game was not easy to beat in one sitting.
Yeah, it was.
Really?
It's a really short game. Yeah, you don't really have a lot of options where you can go and everything looks the same.
Well,
it's a very boring game.
Yeah, but I like that song. So, and then they recently remade it on the 3DS, and I'm sure people like that game because it was more than just...
That was probably better.
I would hope so. And then there was that fan remake, which was also good. All right, let's go over this week's books, which include Valkyrie Jane Foster 1, Marvel's Epilogue 1, Magnificent Miss Marvel 5, House of X 1, History of the Marvel Universe 1, Middle West 9, Lazarus Risen 2, Freedom Fighter 7, Flash 75, and open up this week's books from DC. We have Books of Magic, number 10, writer Cat Howard, art by Tom Fowler.
They kind of said fuck you to the story in this one, like in the adventure. So what happened was Tim comes back from Ferry. And, his dad's been arrested, but he's all right. They don't actually have anything to prove he killed the teacher. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps asking about his dad. So they let him go with his dad. But after he casts a spell on his dad, so his dad would think he was fine and not question where he was. Now all his dad can say is, you're fine. You're fine.
He's fine.
He's really scared that he fucked his dad up. Man, Dr. Rose went to Mad Hattie to get Yo-Yo Azal back, and Mad Hattie talked some shit to her a little bit, and said yes, send the kid himself, and well, because Mad Hattie knows everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. She said send the kid himself, and I might give him Azal back. And then she's fucking with her little string stuff where she can see, basically, she can see the future. And she sees, you know, top half is Tim fucking murdering everyone on Earth. Bottom half is like, oh, he's got like a wife and he has a kid and he's nice. And she was questioning if she was teaching him to be a good young man or to be a good wizard.
Are the two mutually exclusive?
Well, you can only teach one or the other. And I don't know what she's teaching him yet. He went to go see his girlfriend who escaped, and she's all freaked out, and she told him the truth of what happened. And then he's like, oh no, it's okay, I'll protect you, because I'm a wizard too. And then he did some magic for her, and she, after being fucking trapped in a book by a crazy guy, and is very worried about going back to school since she escaped, freaks the fuck out when Tim shows her, she can do magic, and ran into her house and said, never fucking talk to me again. Kind of blames him for what happened to her, which is understandable. So at this point, Tim's, you know, you get the feeling he's kind of all alone. But he goes home and he's trying to figure out how to fix his dad.
Well, she told him
shows up, but
was, yeah, she told him that the spell would eventually wear off. He's like, the reason why he's like that is because he's messed up in the head because of the mom leaving. So he was like, yeah, you know what? I want to keep my eye on my dad for a couple of days. So if you don't see me, you know why.
But he goes home, and who's there but his mom?
His mom. His mom looks exactly like him. It's funny.
Well, that's what they were going for.
I know,
but
it was almost like a comical degree.
His mom just showed up, and the issue ended.
Yeah. Oh, and he called her mom, which got heat with me.
Well, he's English.
We should just bomb them.
I call my mom mom sometimes.
I remember one of my coworkers back when was English, and she got a Happy Mother's Day. It was like, oh, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And she's like, no, go back to the store, get me a card, and have it say Mum. So you're English. We say Mum.
Well, because they don't say Mom. They don't Mum.
Some of them, some of the English things I give them, like mathematics, calling it maths. Okay, that I'm willing to give them. But colors with a U and mum with a U, I don't.
You know, they had the language before us, right?
Yeah, but we perfected it. They also had free market capitalism, and we did it better. Boom.
Yeah, what? No, we're not going to get into it.
Hey, you can't argue we did it better.
How's Tony, how's a tariff an example of free market capitalism again?
Still better than England.
Yeah, price controls are not free market capitalism. We don't have free market capitalism.
That's why
we make
sheets in China. You're having a separate argument. I'm arguing US versus UK.
Oh, UK did fine for years. They still have a free market.
Debatable.
They do.
I know.
They do.
I know, I'm just having fun. All right, let's move on to our next book, Flash. Number 75, Year of the Villain, the Offer tie-in. I don't see how there was any tie-in to that, but this was written by Joshua Williamson, art by Howard Porter.
The tie-in was in the end.
You have to remind me how this book ended. I just remember he met Wally and Wallace, and that's how the book ended for me.
Yeah, because they were showing what his redone history is now.
Oh.
Is basically the guy who controls the still farm. He beat the turtle. The guy who controls the Still Force was apparently showing
him. Oh, I forgot to get the drop.
Origin.
Oh, and this is my last opportunity to do it, too. Oh, I hate myself.
It's okay. So he beat the... I'm not going to go into that. He beat the turtle. Everything was fine. Iris is totally into him. Introduced him to the kids, Wally and Wallace. And then, you know, Wally got hit by fucking lightning, and he apparently got powers after that. Then there was a story about Captain Cold, who they explained where he's been, because we've had the future good Captain Cold around, and OG Captain Cold had been missing. Well, apparently he was in the Suicide Squad, and
that bunch of
he kept being the only one who survived the missions. And it was kind of depressing. And then, of course, we have to have all our tie-ins. This will bring me into the bad thing DC is doing. Someone was talking to him, and of course it was Lex Luthor, and he said, you know, oh, I'll take your deal, I'll kill the Flash for you, but you gotta protect all the rogues too. And Luthor apparently told him okay. And then I turn the page and they have these are the books you need to read for Year of the Villain.
Oh, yeah.
Next
month.
That's
going to be fun.
And it was fucking every single book DC is publishing. Now, if they're all tie-ins like this, where, you know, Lex Luthor appears, he gives the villain something, and then the villain's more of a threat. I'm okay. I'm fine with that. If that's all it is.
If it's that many books, they all can't be significant tie-ins.
No, and I don't think they will be, but I want to be able to, cause he can tell a fucking story with the rogues who have, you know, bigger powers or something. Like, he can tell that story, and that's totally fine. I'm okay with it. But if I have to, if they think I'm gonna fucking buy and read all these goddamn books, no, it's not gonna happen.
I think they recognize that people aren't gonna do that, because no one's gonna do that.
Well, and they're releasing, like, Year of the Villain, Sinestro, Year of the Villain. Like, they're gonna do Year of the Villain books for every fucking villain.
You're the villain.
I'm gonna go writer by writer, and I'm gonna look, and like, okay, if it's a good writer, and if I read the book this is involved in, I will read it. But, like, I'm not reading fucking Wonder Woman, goddamn Cheetah, Year of the Villain, or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm not doing it.
Year of the Villain, Morty Skrull tie-in. Whoop, whoop.
Year of the Villain, the villain. Mm-hmm. God, has he ever been less over in his career than he is now working for fucking ROH?
He's never been over, period, so.
He was over.
Link?
Well, people talked about him. Now they don't, because he's in ROH and everybody else left.
Oh, and before we move on, I was able to find it, and I couldn't live myself if I didn't play it. So here we go.
But am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club?
Speaking of, I fucking read this list on Facebook, and I gotta stop reading these Facebook lists. And it was like the 20 worst movies of the 2000s or something. Mm-hmm. And fucking Master of Disguise is on there. And I'm reading this, and every movie on it is bad, but the guy who wrote it, again, I think he was the same fucking hipster trash that writes all these lists that piss me off. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you've written a list about shitty movies, but you think they're shitty for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
Like, well, because he's all like, fucking gender, fucking races, whatever the fuck. It just bitching, and I'm reading this, and I'm just getting angrier and angrier. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I like Battlefield Earth now. You made me fucking like that movie because you're so fucking unfunny. And then I buried it in the comments.
I'm sure you hurt him.
I don't think he read it. I think it's a computer.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's a fucking computer, and they put a script in, like, fucking hipster script, and then it just fucking hipster writes bot? It.
Hipster bot?
Hipster bot, yeah.
Did I tell you in the 25th issue, the recent of Amazing Spider-Man, that they fed this computer a bunch of, like, years worth of Spider-Man stories, and they had it write an original story?
They were doing that with a lot of stuff. And they're pretty fucking funny. Like, this computer that writes these things, like, it does it exactly how you would expect it to be done. It's fucking weird. I thought it was a fake, like, I don't know if this is an actual fucking computer or if it's a fake thing people are doing. Mm-hmm. Cause it's almost too perfect.
In the future, all comics will be written by bots.
They should feed it all of Vince Russo's booking ideas and then have it write a Vince Russo book show.
I'm worried that it might be good.
Nothing but fucking pole matches and swerves. Mm-hmm. Like, a guy fucking wins a match, and then they're like, oh, but you didn't really win a match because it wasn't really a match and the referee is pregnant. Like, the fucking computer breaks because it makes no sense.
Bunch of work shoots.
Yeah, the ring was pregnant. Oh, well, I didn't want it. And then it kicks the ring, and the ring has a miscarriage, and the fans all leave.
And the computer's smart enough to realize after it books only for like 2 or 3 months, because then it realizes the promotion went out of business.
The computer is a fucking genius.
Yes. It's like, well, given all these parameters, we will go out of business in 2 or 3 months.
you tell it to book like Vince McMahon for a month and the only matches are Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns.
You tell it to book like Vince McMahon and the computer just has a meltdown.
There's never a finish.
The computer just catches fire. The computer grows.
Every match ends in a DQ until the computer lights itself on fire. The computer kills itself.
The PC fashions itself a gun and shoots itself with the arm that it made.
They gave it a no. Why did you give the computer a 3D printer? Oh damn!
And then Vince saw it's such good shit.
Oh, let's hire 25 of them. It's their computers. They're all gonna write the same thing. Oh, but look at the poop joke.
But he's like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to throw the script out 30 minutes before the show airs anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who writes it. I write it. I own the company.
I am the walrus. Cuckoo. I don't know what I'm getting at.
Oh, God, make that a fucking angle. What's the next book?
Freedom Fighters, number 7 of 12. Writer Reverend Venditti, art by Bruno Rendondo.
I was going to say this book is fun, but this actually wasn't a fun issue.
No, by no
stretch. It started out fun.
No, now it's getting deadly serious. There are consequences. So,
yeah, well, but it started out kind of funny because they're like, there are two people and they've got the freedom fighters there in their basement and they're hiding them out. But they pull out their, Nazi issued food ration of lima beans. And they're going to bring them down to him. And there's a cute moment where they're like, well, how much do we give like an equal portion to the little one? And they're like, no, just give her one bean.
That was funny.
And they fucking show later they did give her one bean. She could only eat like half of it. And then she was all full. That was actually cute. I liked that. So yeah, they're in the basement there. And then it turns out, cause on the front, it's like, who sold them out? Well, as it turns out, one of these people who we never met before sold them out. The guy sold them out because his daughter is being kept in like a work camp in Detroit. So he sold them out and the plastic men showed up, you know, the Nazi plastic men who want to prove that they're better than the Uberman, who we found out in the previous issue is not the Uberman because the Uberman developed conscious and left Earth because he didn't want to be a Nazi anymore.
Maybe that's the end game is he comes back.
Well, he could come back and save the day. I don't think he will, though.
I don't see what Uncle Sam's going to do.
Well, Uncle Sam gets a lot stronger based on...
freedom?
On people believing in America. It's ridiculous. Like
Hulk Hogan?
Well, here's what happens. Yes, like Hulk Hogan. So here's... Or Lex Luger.
Ooh, that's a more timely one, yeah.
Here's what happened in this issue. So the plastic men come to attack. And then, of course, they murder the people who sold out, those guys. And I don't know why they did that. Like, well, probably because they're black, but you know, the Nazis would cut deals with people. Like they had no benefit to shooting them, but whatever. They shot them. So they were laying there dying, and then they go downstairs, and they're trying to fight the Nazis, and they're not really winning. But then she says, like, you know, oh, we're dying, but you know what they say? It's like live free or die. And since she said, John Locke, by the way, classic American quote, that gives Uncle Sam the additional power to beat the fuck out of the plastic men, like splattering them across walls. And then, but they're plastic men, so it doesn't really kill him. So he has, they're telling Phantom Lady to teleport him out, but she's like, I can't because I can't see where it's going. And then they finally tell her, well, fucking teleport them then. And she's like, oh, okay. So she teleports their heads off their bodies into outer space.
Nice.
Which was awesome. But so they're walking out and, they're going to go to Detroit because the like work camp in Detroit is also where they think they make the plastic men. Problem being, one of the plastic men, they captured a doll woman and the plastic man. So now they really have a traitor in their midst. And the other story was, Hitler's grandkid, who's like the lead Nazi torturer, is trying to get information out of Human Bomb, who is still alive. So he keeps trying different ways to torture him, but nothing's working.
Yeah, because the thing is, he naturally heals, because he can keep exploding, so naturally he can just heal himself.
Yeah, so they got him all chained up and stuff, so he can't, like, shoot the explosion shit out, but, you know, he's trying to figure out a way, because he can't do anything. And then he finally hits him with, like, the sleeping gas or whatever, and I guess he's doing that so he can figure something else out. They don't know he's alive, also, but... They also said that they copied the formula that gave him the powers, but every time they give it to someone, they explode. Like a grape, he said. So, this is issue 7, and it's only 12 issues. So, we are coming to, I hope it ends with Uncle Sam punching Hitler's head off.
Have we confirmed if Hitler's still alive?
Well, that guy was Hitler the Third.
Yeah, and we said
he was
Jr.
definitely not the leader.
Yeah, I'm the impression that Hitler Jr. or Hitler 2 is the leader.
Hitler 2 might be.
Maybe his head is in a jar and he's attached to a gigantic mechanical body.
Well, we got fucking robots and, you know, superheroes. So, I mean, they could do something
like
that.
Can we get Mecha Hitler?
Maybe he's in the Albatross.
Ooh.
And Uncle Sam's going to show up and he's going to call him a damn fool. And then he explodes his head with Human Bomb.
They can write worse stuff.
I'd read that.
I would insist on a paycheck now.
I love comics because I ripped off Bionic Commando.
Mm-hmm. They don't know we ripped off Bionic Commando.
Yeah, what are the chances they, anybody who worked on this played Bionic Commando?
Probably.
It's just a good ending.
I'm gonna be an optimist and assume very little.
Yeah. Unless they're, you know, my age, then they probably did.
And then, Uncle Sam comes out to Real American, rips off his shirt, and tells Hitler Jr. what's he gonna do.
It doesn't work as well when there's no music.
Oh, I could play music.
You know, I'm just saying, fucking Amazon is doing a TV series based on The Boys, mm-hmm. which is a comic I would never guess would get made into a TV show. So, maybe we can get this comic into a TV show.
There you go.
Punching Nazis is never going to be unpopular.
Well, speaking of playing music in a comic book, I remember reading Sex Criminals, and there's a one scene where she's reading. She's one of the characters is in a karaoke bar, and she's singing "Fat Bottom Girls," but because they didn't have the budget to pay for the rights to the song, they just had like sticky tags all over the lyrics. He's like, yeah, we didn't have the budget for it. Maybe in the graphic novel we'll be able to include the lyrics. And then as she's singing the song, there's just more sticky tags of Freddie Mercury, great singer, am I right?
Wait, you can't even put lyrics to a song in a comic without paying?
It may have been a joke, Alex.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was true or not.
But when I went to
Barnes, it's like that gimmick on TV whenever it's somebody's birthday, they never sing happy birthday.
Well, now it's public domain, so now they can do it in perpetuity.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, long time ago, dude. I'm surprised restaurants don't sing Happy Birthday. It's a public domain song now. Like, I think it was like maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, because for years, you know, they'd sing like, "For he's a jolly good fella," or whatever, because they couldn't sing that birthday song.
Yeah. But now it's in the public domain. Well, but I think most companies are either not hip with times or just being, you know, safe. They don't sing the Happy Birthday song.
Should have renewed the trademark on it, whoever had it.
No. And then when they mentioned the issue, like, oh, maybe we'll do it in the graphic novel, I had to go to a bookstore because it's been since collected into a trade, and they didn't. Made me sad. It made me sad. All right, speaking of Image books, let's talk Lazarus Risen number 2, writer Greg Rucker, art by Michael Lark.
This is a good issue. Had a little bit of everything. Of course, due to the fact it's quarterly now, we're not getting another issue until November.
I'm shocked you can keep up with the story at this point.
Which is, yeah, because I remembered everything that happened.
Okay. I mean, I realize on the one hand, it's not a ton of stuff, but at the same time, when a book comes out quarterly, it's like, The art's really good.
Well, they also, the first page explained everything that was going on.
The art's really good. I like the action sequences.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying the first page explained everything that was going on.
I'm not
gonna. It even gave you overviews of the characters.
I know. What's his name? He likes world building, and he's gone out of his way to write a bunch of stuff. And I usually skip.
Well, no, but just it was no, because all that stuff was at the end. The first page had the recap, yeah, and then it's like, here who our characters are.
I know. I didn't like the little.
Well, the big hits in this were. Because Carlisle is at war with Moray now. Johanna's in charge of the family. She's taken forever off the drugs that keep her under their control. And the guy who got raised up to work for the family in the first series is now her personal doctor. Because somebody has to fix her after she gets fucked up, but normally they give her more drugs. That's what her sister wants to do, who's supposed to be in charge of her. But she keeps finding excuses when she's fucked up to not bring her back to her sister, but to send her to the other guy. Mm. So that's what's going on. But she goes to fight two of the Lazaruses, one of them being the Moray's Lazarus, which isn't really him. It's just a robot now, but it looks like him.
Yeah, it was sad.
And they were trying to use him to fuck with her because, you know, her and him were banging.
Uh-huh.
And she just fucking murdered the shit out of both. She killed him in the fucking coolest way I've ever seen. So,
with the extreme prejudice,
she cuts his hand off and then she cuts his head off. So he's dead. And then they must have boats around or something. She gets fucking harpooned through the chest. Like they basically shot a fucking metal bar through her chest. So the other guy's talking shit and he's coming at her and she like fucking grabs him and pulls him in, impaling him. In the thing that is sticking out of her chest. And then she like tells him to fuck off and she pulls it out and bludgeons him to death.
Nice.
It was fucking awesome. So she,
I'm not a big fan of this book's story, but the action sequences are 5-star.
Oh, I love the story and it's getting turned into a TV show. Yeah. So.
Which I worry.
It might flow better.
Who's picking this up? Amazon?
I don't remember.
Yeah, this show needs really good action sequences. I don't know if we're gonna get that.
I think we probably will.
I would love to be wrong. I'm not openly wanting it to just be.
Amazon did Man in the High Castle, and that had good action scenes.
Oh, okay. I don't have Amazon Prime, and when I did, I never bothered watching their original property shows. Because
I've watched some of it. It's pretty good, and I'm gonna fucking watch The Boys when it comes out because I love Garth Ennis.
The Boys. I want
The Boys is so fucking funny.
I want The Boys to be the Sinister Six from that meme.
No,
just me and the Boys. The dank versions of the Sinister Six.
No. This is different, boys.
I can't ever
get it. Amazing comic.
I can't ever
get it. Very Garth Ennis. Hang on one sec. Because something else happened in this issue, but I got to plug my phone in.
Okay. Because it's probably dying. Because you're doing the show on your phone because you have no internet.
Okay.
Continue with the point you were going to make before we move on.
So the other big thing that happened in this issue near the end that was kind of creepy. Forever's like in the base or whatever. She's like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk because they said they thought they saw a bear out there. She wants to go see the bear. So she's going out for a walk and she finds the new Forever because we found out the Forevers are all clones. And I can't recall if she was aware of this. She knew there were ones before her. I don't know if she... No, she did know there was a new
younger
one.
Yeah, because she kept saying, why can't I die?
Yeah, she fucking stabbed herself over and over with a sword, was bleeding out in the woods, and she's like, why can't I die? And she just kind of holds her and's like, oh, it'll be all right. And it's like, no, that's not all right. That's creepy. Little girl trying to kill herself because she can't die and she can't figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
And now she knows she's a copy. Like, it's really depressing shit. So.
Well, that is.
But then the issue ended. So, but things are looking up for the Carlisle family in the war. Because Forever just killed two of the other Lazaruses. And they made a deal with one of the other families, too, they said.
Cool. So a bunch of moving parts, a bunch of family drama.
Oh, and there's something with the dad. Like, the dad went to see the mom, who I don't think we've ever heard mentioned before.
Probably not.
And she must be pretty fucked up because she has, like, a live-in nurse. And the dad, like, walks in and he's like, hey, will she see me? And the nurse goes in to check and she's like, oh, no, she doesn't want to see you. He's like, oh, okay, tell her I love her. And she's like, yeah, I do every time. I don't know why they showed us that.
What's the term I'm looking for?
Humanizing the father?
Well, that too, but then they're also saying some stuff up. Foreshadowing? Stuff with the mother?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know what the fuck the mother's gonna do. She's probably old and crazy.
There's probably a reason why she ended up like that. Maybe we'll get the origin of why she's like that. See?
Oh,
see? I can write
books.
They
never show anything. They've never shown anything like before.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with this book is it comes out quarterly and there's a bunch of cool stuff they could show, but they don't.
I just don't think they do that. Like, they've never done it, so. I don't know if they would.
Okay, let's talk our other image book, Middle West, number 9, writer Scotty Young, art by George Corona.
They got caught by some forest people who turned out to be the forest people mm-hmm. who used to live where he lived, but they lost the war. And now most of them are dead, but they all recognize the tattoos on his belly. And they knew he had a storm living in him. So
in his heart, yes.
They sent him to meet with, I don't remember what his name was, Nunuyan. Yakuzuma?
Sadly, it was not Yokozuma.
I think it started with an N. It was Nanu. It doesn't fucking matter.
Nakayuma. There we go. Again. That's what it was. Nakayuma.
They got him high and he talked to a bear spirit. And he asked the bear spirit to take the storm out of him and he's like, can't fucking do that. He's like, it's a part of you. We can't just take a part out of you. He's like, but if you want it out of you, you gotta go to the cold waste thing. And when you get there, you'll know what to do. And, they actually, to their credit, they didn't make us follow this journey. They had him do the journey while he was telling him to do the journey. So they skipped like 8 months worth of stories.
If this was a looking to pad numbers, it could easily flesh that out and made it a story. But Scotty Young's a little better than that.
Instead he just skipped to it. So he's in the, I don't know, the frozen waste there. And when he got there, he told the fox he couldn't come because the bear said he couldn't come with him. So he didn't, and he went in, and I don't remember what he found.
I seem to forget, too.
Wow, we both forgot the end of this book. So,
well, we read a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah, we failed.
Oh,
but he found something.
His
mom?
I remember how this book ends now. So he goes to like this really cold place because there's snow everywhere and there's wind blowing. And from off panel, you see someone says, grandson?
Oh, to say grandson?
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
So maybe it's the north wind. Maybe it's a Fables crossover. Oh my God.
This is
it's Big B Wolf's dad. He's also the kid's dad.
I don't know if that's the way the book's going.
Calling it right now. Fables crossover.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's a different company, so.
Boom. That's all right. It's all right. Public domain characters.
As long as we're talking about showing us a bunch of things that I don't, well, Scotty Young didn't show us a bunch of things, but Mark Waid showed us a bunch of things that I didn't necessarily care about. History of the Marvel Universe, number 1 of 6, writer Mark Waid, art by Javier Rodriguez.
Tony started reading this and then he stopped, which I told him was fine.
Because here's how the book, most of it read, and this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And it's like, okay, that's great.
This was legitimately a history of the Marvel Universe.
This would make like a great like coffee piece table that you maybe want to flip through sometime. This wasn't a real comic book with a story.
It was framed as people telling stories. I mean, some of it was interesting because I'm not really big into old Marvel. So I didn't know all of this stuff, but I imagine people who've been reading comics for a long time probably know all this. So it was interesting. The art was good.
It was more informative than an actual book with a story.
Yeah. And then the weird thing was, because it was a really big book, like it was a normal size comic, and then it followed up with more detailed explanations of all the stuff they showed in the comic, which I thought was weird. Cause like they would spend like, you know, a speech bubble, like a narration box on all these events. Like, oh, this is where the, you know, Eternity came from and the Living Tribunal and all the Elders of the Universe, and here's where the Eternals came from, and here's where the Kree came from, and the Skrulls and all that. But they'd say it really quickly. Like, it made sense, but they just went through it really quick. And then you go to the back of the book, and it had all the shit they talk about, but a more detailed explanation that wasn't told in story form, so it wouldn't have fit in the book. I'm not sure who this book is for.
I could say who this book is for, but it'd be kind of mean.
Well, I thought it was for, like, people who are new to comics.
It's for people working at Marvel.
Oh, so they know the history of their own books. They had Mark Waid do this when Bendis was still working there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, we need you to write up our entire history so Bendis can stop fucking it up. Like, can you do that? But you have to include lots of pictures because he's not very good at reading.
And then Bendis fired back with a TLDR. Lol.
They did the whole thing. Mark Waid cried. I worked so hard. I wrote the entire history of the Marvel Universe from the creation of the universe on, and he didn't even read it.
It was more of an almanac than it was an actual comic book.
Yeah, but it was full of art, and I enjoyed the art. And some of those stories, I thought, oh, that's interesting, and I'll never read it because it's not good because it was written in the 60s.
Yeah, I just remember an interview with CM Punk. He was talking about, oh, they sat him down with someone to talk about the Marvel continuity. So when he writes a story, and Punk was like, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I don't think they do that.
No, they don't.
He was also writing a, which is funny because he wrote a Drax book, which is a character who you kind of need to know his continuity because he's changed a lot.
Supposedly, Marv Wolfman, DC commissioned someone to read every single DC book so he would have someone as a reference when he would include something in a story when he was doing Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Marvel has, last year they hired a new guy. Mm-hmm. To be their continuity. Well, it has like a title, but there is someone at Marvel who is in charge of the Marvel continuity. But apparently the way it works is, he can't read every comic book.
It's kind of impossible.
So the way it's supposed to work is if you have questions, you're supposed to ask him.
Oh,
because he knows everything, but a lot of people just don't ask him.
Well, because here's the thing, people, and I can defend this, people have a story they want to tell, and most people only know continuity for the last couple of years, so no one's really going to call them out on stuff if they forget a couple of things.
Well, there are people who, I think if you're talking about, like I can think of the writers who probably know, like, you know, Kurt Busiek, Mark Waid, probably fucking Grant Morrison, like, these guys know the history of the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe. Like, they know it. Because they're fucking nerds who've been reading comics forever. But, you know, if you grab some fucking random schlub off the street and tell him to write a comic book, he doesn't fucking know all this shit.
Well, the worst thing about that guy is there are numerous Wikipedias out there, so I'm sure if someone has a question, they could probably just do that.
Well, when I imagine that guy, I imagine him like working in this dark corner of the Marvel offices, just fucking comic books stacked everywhere, and not trade paperbacks because that changes the art. So he has to have the original issues. And they're all fucking there. His hands are covered in paper cuts and shit.
He's
and
crying.
He's like writing on the walls.
He's crying.
Just the guy's a fucking maniac. That's how I imagine.
Or he's Howard Hughes. He's got the long fingernails.
Yeah,
he's got
fucking jars of piss.
He's wearing a scrub. He's wearing a nurse gown.
Somebody comes in, fucking he hasn't seen light in 5 years.
No!
It burns!
Turn the light off! You may ask me 3 questions.
Why are you like this? That's one of your questions, and I'm going to answer it.
Somebody fucks with them, they're like, hey, pick out the continuity errors in this book, and they just throw him a Bendis book. No! And then he turns to dust. That's why they had to hire a new guy. The old one read a Bendis book and it fucking killed him. Or hell, we get to the Hickman book, that might have killed him. Oh
yeah, that's what we have next. House of X. Let's go straight into it since you brought it up. House of X, number 1 of 6, writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Pepe Lazar.
This was a good issue.
Oh, I'm like, I'm gonna like this book, and I don't care if Alex likes her or not. He's not going to ruin this book for me.
This was a good book, but so he's doing 2 titles before he gets on the official book.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave you a reading order, which is a really fucking annoying reading order. But
well, it's not hard to do that when, like, okay, House of Number 1 came out this week. And then next week is the other book
you're
doing. So
if you look down a couple of them, it's like, okay, you read House of X number 1, then you read Powers of X. Then you read House of X number 2, then you read Powers of X. Then you read House of X 3 and 4. Like, he fucks it up. So,
well, it could be that's how the release date of these books are too, so we don't know.
If it's the way they're released, that's fine. But so the only big problem with this book is, there was no, and I can shit on Hickman for this, but I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt and say I'm going to wait to see what happened. Between the ending of the last X book and this book, there was no transition.
Yeah, not really.
This book starts, the X-Men live on, all the mutants now live on Krakoa. It's a sovereign nation led by Professor Xavier, who is alive. And they've set up little pieces of Krakoa growing in various countries where they have embassies, and mutants can instantly move between any of these gateways to get anywhere they want to go.
But not humans.
But humans can't enter them. So humans can't get to Krakoa.
Well, no. They can, but they have to be with a mutant.
They have to be with a mutant, and even then they might not be able to cross the gateway.
Yeah, that does.
Although I don't know why they can't just fucking fly to Krakoa.
Because it's out in the middle of the what? Indian Ocean?
No, it was. The Philippines.
Yeah, Pacific Ocean. Never mind.
Floating out there. Yeah. So. Yeah, they got this whole setup, and he tried to establish a few things. There's some people chilling on a base by the sun, who are trying to deal with the new growing threat of mutants, because mutants, they pointed out that mutants were going to overtake humans, and then Genosha happened, when they blew up Genosha.
Speaking of Genosha, was that the giant master mold from the...
No, Genosha was the mutant nation, the first mutant
nation. I'm saying,
nation.
Was that master mold? Was that the one from the Cassandra Nova? Angle?
Yes.
Storyline.
Well, Master Mold was before that, but...
Yeah, I know, but was it that specific Master Mold? I presume there have been...
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be threatening because they're anti-mutant, vaguely. So Xavier's gimmick is Krakoa grows a flower, and the flower can do different things. In mutants, it does a few different things. In humans, it cures mental illnesses. It makes them live for 5 more years, or extends a human's life by 5 years. It can apparently cure any disease, and it also cures mental diseases. So what Xavier does is he's like, hey, we give you this if you recognize us as a nation. So recognize Krakoa as a nation of mutants, and you get super mutant cure-all disease shit.
A lot of this book made me uneasy about the X-Men. I think
yes, because Magneto still comes off as kind of a villain.
Well, Cyclops too.
I think Cyclops is that bad. They're just really
So they the Fantastic Four capture Sabretooth and Mystique, or I think just Sabretooth,
because they're stealing something and killing a bunch of people.
They're stealing something from Reed, and Cyclops basically is like, "Okay, I'll take it from here." Remember, they have immunity. And Reed's like, they were stealing my stuff. I don't know if you want
they
your immunity extended. Yeah, I don't know if you want your immunity extended to that. And there's a bit of a confrontation, there's a bit of a standoff. And Cyclops backs down, but backs down in a really creepy way where it's like, oh, I want you to think you won. It's really unsettling.
Yeah. It is, cause they're very,
and then even
they have a lot of confidence.
And even the way at the end when he talks about Franklin joining them, he's like, well, if he ever wants to join us, he has room on, there's room on the island for him.
He's like, yeah, if he ever wants time away from his family, yeah. Or if he's ever done with his family. And he did a couple things in pages where like when they had the group who's going to be against them, he did like a text page explaining who they were. When they mentioned Omega Mutants, he did a page where he listed some of the Omega Mutants. He explained what an Omega Mutant was. Our boy Quentin Quire was included on the list, by the way. So he explained what an Omega level mutant is, and he gave a bunch of examples of them. And by the way, which is really funny because we talked about this once, and he said he was going to explain what an Omega level mutant was. And I said, an Omega level mutant is a really fucking strong mutant.
Well, it's not rocket science.
As it turns out, Hickman's opinion is that is sort of correct. An Omega level mutant is a mutant who is really fucking strong at one specific thing.
Okay.
Like Magneto is a Omega level mutant because his powers of magnetism are stronger than anyone else's powers of magnetism. Jean Grey is an Omega level mutant in telepathy, but not telekinesis.
Would that mean they don't have a secondary mutation?
Well, he said they could have secondary mutations, but they would never be an Omega level mutant in two categories, or no one is. Legion made it on the list.
I get the feeling the only reason why he established that is because eventually we're going to get one that has more than one.
Probably. Because he did actually include like a little postscript that specifically said that.
Yeah, I just
or it might have been to deal with some of the characters.
Okay, because I read the story in this. I didn't read any of the extraneous stuff. I'll read that later.
It was in the middle of the book, dude.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I always wait the last minute.
God, you have to sit. You really need to start reading that stuff because it was like parts of this book would make less sense if you did not read that stuff.
It's Hickman, so I will read it eventually. But I always wait to the last minute to read books. So, and sometimes really they're just, and especially you know it's a Hickman book when you have tons of charts.
Yeah. Well, it was a good book. It was a good jumping off point, but there's nothing saying how we got to this point.
I'm hoping we get an explanation.
Nothing at all.
And there has to be something with Xavier going on, because nothing about this reeks of classic Xavier. This has to be someone else or something else.
Yeah, because Xavier's whole thing was we have to make the humans and the mutants get along. It wasn't we're going to completely separate ourselves from the humans and be kind of creepy and blackmail them into...
So someone commented on
exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, someone commented on one of the sites I go to. It's like, yeah, Hickman really liked the Maker from Ultimates. You can see a lot of that.
Yeah, because he did look a little bit like Evil Reed.
Yeah,
with his stupid fucking helmet. Although they did make fun of the helmet.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In this, which I appreciated because it's a horrible character design. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it was interesting. It's something okay, so this did read to me like Morrison's new X-Men. Mm-hmm. In that he came on and he completely changed the status quo.
Yeah, cause so many people's X-Men runs are, well, these are the high points and this is what people expect from X-Men, so we're gonna do this, but we're also gonna do original stories. Whereas this is sort of like the Morrison run, it's, I'm gonna do something completely different.
Yeah, I'm going to do something that's never been done before with the X-Men. But, I mean, the difference between this and Morrison is Morrison, he explained how they got to the... Because he started out normal. And then he got weird. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it justified it in the story. Hickman is starting out weird. And he's not explaining why. But he's also doing a second book that is a history book. Mm-hmm. That maybe that will explain how we got to this point.
Yep. So, basically did a lot of world building. No real giant hook, but it did set the stage up for some cool stuff.
No. Oh, and there were other Banshees alive now, again, even though he just died. Man was mentioned, so everybody who died is alive again.
Oh, okay. I'm sure with their new organic technology, they found a way to bring people back.
Or it never happened.
That too. I'm sure the guy that's in charge of the Marvel continuity is probably crying again.
There are multiple reality reorganizing. And also, this isn't like Hickman. He wouldn't do this unless it was a part of a bigger story.
Exactly.
So, I trust him. I think it was a very good start. It's the most interesting thing I've read in X-Men for a decade.
You're going to say since the Morrison run, aren't you?
Since the Morrison run, yeah. X-Men has all been downhill since that fucking Morrison run ended, and before that it was the shits, too.
I thought Rosenberg's run was pretty good.
It was pretty good, but it was still, you know.
Yeah, you can tell at some point you could tell it was just a lame duck book.
That was the biggest fault with that.
And that's not really his fault.
No, he had a story to tell and he did tell the story. Like he finished the story, but you know, it didn't matter because look what happened. Like this has no bearing on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to our next book. Magnificent Miss Marvel number 5, writer Saladin Ahim, art by Min-Yuk Jung.
This issue is all about how she got a new costume.
Pretty much, they wrapped up the storyline where she's on the other planet. She helps them win because she's able to access some stuff from the previous Ms. Marvel.
There was a Deus Ex fucking weapon that none of the aliens could access, but she could because she wasn't a part of their race.
Yeah.
And she also is... You know, inhuman, so she's got vaguely Kree blood in her. So she was able to do it and sent the beast monsters away. The old king died, so the dude who was trying to get on her was there. Old priest sacrificed himself to send him back and made sure to say, okay, I'm the last one who knows how to do this, so you'll never come back here. This will never get mentioned again. And I did something to help you out, so sends her back, and she still has the new costume, but mom and dad had all of it erased from their memories.
And then we get the bombshell.
Yeah, her dad has vague... They didn't say cancer, did he?
They all but alluded that it was cancer.
Her dad has cancer.
Come again?
her dad has cancer, basically, which is what me and Tony predicted when he was walking with the lady.
And well, yeah, because I thought it was a little too over the top of him having an affair. It's like they want you to think that for a reason, so because it's going to be something else.
And I'd actually forgotten it happened until they gave the reveal, and he told her like, "Yeah, so I'm really sick." Basically, he has cancer.
Poor dad.
Because it's always cancer. Poor Abu.
I know. Oh well. Marvel's Epilogue Number 1, where Kurt Busiek art by Alex Ross.
This is about 16 pages of Alex Ross art. It was really nice.
Not much of a story, to be honest.
No, it was taken from the old X-Men Christmas book where they were chilling in Central Park, and then there was a Sentinel, and they fought it. And Phil was there with his daughters, who are adults now. This wasn't even really an epilogue. I mean, it took place like 20 years after the original story, so I guess that was. Because his daughters are grown now, and apparently they want to be photographers too. And they saw the mutants fighting, and they thought they were super keen. And they referenced the little mutant kid they had in the original book.
Oh, did they know? I forgot about that. What happened?
Yeah, because she's like, are they mutants? Like, and then it cut off, but they were talking about, cause their only personal reference of mutants would be when they found the little mutant kid in their basement.
Yeah, that was sad.
And these mutants look completely different. Mm-hmm. They looked like normal people. So.
Okay.
No, it was 16 pages of Alex Ross art. And then to make it a full comic book, they did a really long interview with Busiek and Alex Ross in the back, but they mostly just asked Alex Ross questions.
Well, yeah, that's the sad thing. Well, because that's the hook of, I mean, it's a really good story still, but the hook of that book is all the gorgeous Alex Ross art.
Yeah. And he doesn't do as much anymore, so he mainly just does cover. Like, Busiek did mention that. He's like, well, you gotta remember, I haven't stopped working with Alex Ross for like 30 years. He's like, because I was still doing Astro City, and he does all my covers, so. I have been working with him.
Okay.
And
oh, sorry.
It was a cute story, but it wasn't.
I think it was being generous calling this a comic book. It was like, you mentioned 16 pages, but it read even faster.
Well, yeah, because it's fucking Alex Ross.
I know. If you wanted Alex Ross art, this is the book for you. But if you were expecting more of the story from Marvel's, you were sorely disappointed.
There was a funny picture of him with, cause Alex Ross, all his shit he uses models for, or photo references. And, he had a picture of him with the guy who's, you know, with Phil. But yeah. Phil now, as opposed to Phil 20 years ago when they did Marvels.
It's
kind of a funny thing.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our final book. Valkyrie, Jane Foster, number one, writer Jason Aaron, and our favorite Valiant artist, Safu.
I actually liked this, and I didn't expect to, like, when I realized it was on the list, I was like...
Well, because remember, that was on the maybe list, and I think I accidentally included it, but the thing is, this was so much different than Jane Foster Thor.
Yes.
It had enough of its own hook that I kind of want to read the next issue.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the reveal at the end. I actually popped kind of big for it.
Dork.
I like her powers are a little different. I don't quite understand.
Well, because it's Valkyrie, so her powers are going to be different than Thor. She's not going to be just super powered and she can fly.
Yeah. So it starts out. She fights some jobber villains, and she's going to beat them, but they stole. Weapons recovered after the War of the Five Realms. Damage Control is collecting weapons and, you know, storing them, and they stole them. And one of them had, Dragon Fang, Valkyrie's sword. Well, Jane doesn't really need the fucking sword because she has the all weapon, which is her fucking hammer that broke and like went into her. It apparently she can use it as a weapon that changes depending on what she needs it to do.
That is so cool.
Which is cool, but it's also really fucking vague. It's like, yeah, here's a weapon that just does whatever you want. It's awesome.
It's a MacGuffin. It's like, yeah, I know.
Okay. And she also has, Valkyrie vision, which, as far as I know, lets her see, invisible people.
Mm-hmm. Cause she was able to see Sue.
She can also go to, the land of the dead there, the Norse land of the dead.
Yeah.
Which she did to go talk to Valkyrie.
And then she's also able
to learn nothing about.
And then towards the end of this book, it she's able to see when people are going to die.
Yeah, which is really creepy because, so the big reveal at the end was, so somebody, one of the jobber villains, he still had the sword and he was running away and somebody killed him and took the sword. And the sword is very dangerous because apparently, it strikes whatever you want to strike with it and it's always a fatal blow.
Mm-hmm.
So she's using her vision. She can look and she can see when people are going to die because, you know, she's a Valkyrie. And, if they're not going to die for a long time, it's a really small skull, but if they're going to die sooner, it's a bigger skull. So she's looking at all these people and then she turns to look at Heimdall. It's a fucking giant skull. It's like 10 times bigger than him. She's like, oh my God, Heimdall, we gotta get out of here. And then suddenly he gets fucking stabbed through the fucking chest. And who is it? It's motherfucking Bullseye.
Yeah.
And the sword riding on a fucking flying horse.
On a Pegasus.
On a Pegasus. Because if you have the sword, you also get a Pegasus. So the image of, Bullseye riding on a fucking Pegasus was amazing. I don't know how threatening he's gonna be against somebody with fucking super strength.
Well, this is the first big villain she's fighting. I imagine down the road she's gonna fight heavier hitters.
Yeah, but Bullseye hasn't been overused lately, so.
I'm curious though, remember the last time we read him with anything, he was in that Daredevil run by Wade where he was in that giant iron lung, so.
Well, now he's fine.
Marvel continuity.
You're the villain. He called Lex Luthor.
There you go. Oh!
And Lex Luthor's like, look, you killed Jay.
Speaking of DC, if you notice in the Marvel, prologue, when they're in New York, there's a couple that look exactly like Clark and, Lois.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, go back and just flip through it. When they're at, downtown New York, there's a couple that are by the skating rink and they look exactly like Clark and Lois. Like there's no mistaking that.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. They don't live in New York. They live in Metropolis.
Yeah, but it's Alex Ross and he can pretty much paint whatever he wants and no one's going to complain.
Yeah, well.
If it's a guy with glasses and a woman with dark hair, you can't really say that's Superman and Lois.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our final segment, next week's books.
He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets. Doesn't matter if it's curtain jerking or the main event. He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets. Doesn't matter if he's curtain jerking or the main event. He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. House was so packed that he thought it would blow, cause he had a ton of color down in Puerto Rico.
There.
He's grizzly young vet. He's grizzly.
I told Alec, yes. We played this song before, cause he mentioned it in a private Facebook chat. He was like, oh, how have we not played that on the show? And I informed him, not only have we played it, but we recently played it. And I told him, I could tell he wasn't paying attention cause he kinda no-sold it.
Love that song.
So there.
Cause got a lot of color down in Puerto Rico. Man, by the way, I finally watched that Viceland Bruiser Brody thing.
Yes.
That was fucking wrong, man.
Late slip.
I felt so bad for Tony Atlas. Yeah, but it's fucking sad, dude. He basically saw the guy get stabbed, mm-hmm. and the cops wouldn't even talk to him.
Yep. Don't go to Puerto Rico, everyone.
I felt so bad.
Don't go to Puerto Rico.
No. And fucking Abdullah's still fucking kayfabing it.
Even after he gave Hep C to everybody?
Well, because Tony Atlas is talking about how, yeah, so we came back the next day, and we fucking Savio Vega saved Tony Atlas's life. Because he told him, he's like, don't go back to your hotel room because they're looking for you, and Tony Atlas got scared and he slept on the beach.
Is that why he was booked by the E for so many years? Because he was pretty terrible.
Because he saved, he still works Puerto Rico. He's back there now. He's booking.
Does he call Carlos Colon a legend? I hit you with the ranch.
Carlos Colon, you're a legend. You're amazing. I do all the flip and the move and I wear a hat. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. You play it for me later, but
you gotta. If I can find it's fucking an old Talk is Jericho, and it's when he had Gallows and Anderson on and Epica.
And I wear a hat.
I wear a hat. I do the flip and the jump, and I take a bomb.
The best part is when he was explaining what it's like to work in Puerto Rico. Apparently, the way you get heat there is you hit the baby face, which presumably the clones, with a wrench.
Yeah, you gotta hit them with a wrench and they'll get color.
I just imagine, in my mind for the longest time when I heard wrench, I heard like that big long red plumber's wrench. I was like, well, you could kill someone with that.
And fucking Gallo's ass, he's like, wait, every heel hits him with a wrench? Doesn't that get old? No, it's Puerto Rico, man.
Wasn't, I forget what country it was, where it was the top baby face. He was doing like a local ad for a show, and he had the heel legit like hit him with like a wrench or something. But because he had to be a pro wrestler, number one baby face, like it hurt him still, but he kept no selling it. Like he was legit hitting it with a wrench, but because he had to be a baby face and do the local promo, he just no sold it, even though you could tell he was bleeding from the face.
It's fucking Otto Bonds.
It was either one of the colognes or it was Antonio Inoki or someone from Japan. It was just hysterical.
They didn't do international objects a lot in Japan.
Well, then maybe it was Puerto Rico.
So I bet it was a cologne.
Yeah. Okay, let's go over this week's books. You mentioned how there's nothing to read next week, and I'm looking at, and yeah, there's not as much, but there's still stuff to read.
Death's Head, yes.
Okay. I thought I was going to sit here and fight with you tooth and nail to read Death's Head.
It was the only book I could find.
Okay. There's Batman Who Lulls.
Oh, yeah. That's the one DC book out of the 10 DC books coming out.
Conan the Barbarian. I can't believe you read that book. How dare you? You offended me, sir. Prepared to die.
I picked Death's Head.
Yeah, I know. Which I'm shocked you picked Death's Head. Because it's written by Teeny Howard or Tiki Howard. No one.
But it's Death's Head. It's not hard to write.
I know. It'd be fun. Yes?
It's got it's guest starring Wiccan and Hulkling.
Because why not? Because no one's doing anything with them.
Yeah, it's like, let's just throw them in. So I guess that means Death's Head is officially in the Marvel Universe.
He's been in the Marvel Universe for quite a while now.
Has he?
We read that Iron Man story with him in it.
Oh, yeah, he was in that.
And okay. I still love to this day when he's talking to Tony. He's like, oh, okay, so you're a superhero who doesn't kill. You're not one of those superheroes that doesn't kill, but it's totally cool with just killing robots? Because that's still not cool.
And he is.
Yeah, I know.
The dick.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Powers of X. Or if you're the guy who works at the comic book store I went to today, Powers of 10. And then Thanos.
Okay.
Thanos.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that.
Haha. Usually you're the one who catches stuff I don't get. It's publishing
something new, but it's not anything I want to read.
Yeah, okay.
And so, there was nothing from Image. It was kind of a disappointing week.
Yeah, I you know, when you see a week like this, I presume it's either because it's the fifth week in the month, or there's a giant book that's coming out that everyone's expecting will take all the business, but this is just a slow week just for the sake of being a slow week.
Powers of X.
Yeah, I mean, that'll do
House
a lot.
House of X had 47 covers.
Yeah, I know. That's 47 too many.
And none of them were, like, great. Like, it was weird, because I had the definitive edition or whatever, so it included all the covers, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, well, they got Dave Cockrum to do a cover. That's kind of cool. But, I mean, he draws the characters the way he used to draw them, so they don't look like that anymore. But, you know, neat that they got some history there. But, yeah, I'm not impressed. And there was a funny, Scotty Young cover. Had a joke on it.
I have to make sure to look at this later. Cause I read it. Yeah. I read it, online.
Oh, the Scotty Young cover it made me chuckle. So. We had that. But yeah, that's going to be it for next week.
Okay, cool. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show then. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week. Adios.
He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets. Doesn't matter if he's curtain jerking or the main event. Because he's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet.
What's that?
He's worked so many towns.
Jackass, why are you tapping your foot? And I go, he's playing a song.
Yeah. But he lost his big push because of the steroid ban. He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. Works so many towns that sometimes forgets. Doesn't matter if he's curtain jerking or the main.
He's a grizzled young vet.
He's a grizzled young vet.